I have psoriasis, Jimmy.
Do you?
Yeah, I do. It sucks.
I have alopecia.
That sucks, too.
Yeah, different people get different things, man. Autoimmune disorders.
It's wild, right?
Yeah, yeah. So, New Japan looks like they might be 3 weeks away from getting back into the arenas.
Hope so.
Yeah, in Japan, they lifted the state of emergency. They just did it over the greater Tokyo area this week. They haven't reopened everything yet. They're starting with schools, museums, and libraries. Bars and restaurants are going to be able to open later. In other cities like Osaka, they already lifted restrictions last week. And what they've announced is in Japan, starting June 19, arenas will be available with no crowds.
Yeah.
So that's about 3 weeks. Then June 10, you can have 50% capacity up to 5,000 people, which is a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what they're saying. And then starting August 1st, you can have 50% of whatever the capacity of a building is. Can you imagine? That means as of August 1st, you could have half the Tokyo Dome filled if you want.
Yeah, that sounds dangerous.
It sounds a little crazy, but that's what they're saying right now. Now, New Japan had said that they would do empty arena shows when venues are available. That means that 3 weeks out, looks like New Japan will be ready to come back. And that's good, man. They haven't done anything. They've paid their talent the whole time. So at least they'll be able to fulfill some television commitments, you know?
Yeah, a lot of respect to New Japan, Ring of Honor, and Impact. I mean, Ring of Honor paid people that they didn't even have under contract that were just supposed to do one-off shows. They paid them. So I got a lot of respect for those companies for doing that and not making cuts at this time. Good for New Japan. I want them back. I need them back. Thing is, it won't be that different of an environment because the Japanese crowds are a lot quieter.
You're right. And they'll just put sex dolls there anyway.
Oh, man.
Yeah, then we'll see how it goes. Now, this next one, some people might consider this to be a spoiler. So if you're not into spoilers, earmuffs for about 2 minutes. To me, it's not a spoiler because it's everywhere. Some people might think it is. Matt Riddle is reportedly headed to the SmackDown brand.
Yeah.
I asked Sean Rossop off the air the other day, did they choose SmackDown because Brock Lesnar's on Raw? That's what I asked him. But when you look at the potential matchups for Matt Riddle on SmackDown, AJ Styles, Cesaro, Daniel Bryan, Dolph Ziggler, Drew Gulak, Shinsuke Nakamura, Sheamus, pretty good matchups, man.
Yeah. You know? I think it'll be Corbin at first.
I mean, at least, you know what, blow through Corbin. And then move on to somebody else.
At least
you know?
that's what someone who has some pretty good contacts has indicated to me. But I don't know. I don't like to report on that stuff because it changes so much. But SmackDown just wanted him. That's what it came down to. I don't know that Raw asked for him necessarily. Really? SmackDown did, and I'm working on a lot of stuff because the coronavirus caused a series of dominoes that just fell and fell and fell, and it affected Riddle, Pete Dunne, Thatcher, at least three other people, Imperium. The domino that fell here affected upwards of like 10 people, mm-hmm. and that's unbelievable, and I'm trying to piece it together and get a confirmation on it. Hopefully I'll be able to have that by early next week.
Okay, well, if it is Corbin, I hope there's no 50-50 because you're going to kill him right out of the chute. You know,
Matt Riddle's got to beat Baron Corbin decisively with no comeback.
I agree, and I know they won't do this because Vince McMahon just doesn't have it in him anymore, but I would license the UFC footage, and I would show Matt Riddle taking guys out in the UFC.
Yeah.
Because they have to, even though he's coming from NXT, they still have to somewhat introduce him to the SmackDown audience.
Yeah.
And I would absolutely use that footage. They won't. I just know they won't, but I would.
There's some good footage of it. Now, he didn't have a lot of finishes in the UFC. He had a good arm triangle. Most of his fights were decisions, but there's a lot of surface there that they could get the upkick footage, but he's got a KO from the Ultimate Fighter. That was one of the scariest you'll ever see. There was, I think he TKO'd DeMarcus Johnson too. So there's a lot of stuff that you can source from. He was a very, very, very good MMA fighter. Mm-hmm. A lot of people leave the UFC because they're not good. He had won four straight fights.
Right. So, yeah. Just couldn't stay away from the vices.
Isn't that amazing that's why he got fired?
Yeah.
Because today.
Is that still a thing? Is that still a thing in the UFC?
Nope.
It's not, right? USADA, no? It's good?
I mean, USADA is, yeah. But,
okay.
I mean, like, good God, like, nobody cares about weed.
Yeah, no, you're
They're
right.
not
nobody
getting
cares.
Fired for it, that's for sure. And Dana right. White went on Fox Sports with Chael Sonnen, of all people, and said, "This dummy can't pass a drug test? Where's he going to make six figures?"
Yeah.
He found a place.
Yeah, he did. Good for him. Yeah. Started with Fightful.com. Kudos to
us. Where, that's where he got paid six figures.
maybe if you include cents.
Yeah.
Maybe we could get close. So, you know, during this lockdown period, WWE, obviously, they've had a limited roster. And obviously, their biggest stars, a lot of them have been unavailable, like Roman Reigns, like Becky Lynch, like Brock Lesnar. And so WWE has really had to rely on a lot of new talent and a lot of sparsely used talent in order to fill television time.
Yeah.
You got 3 hours on Monday, you got 2 hours on Friday, and you got to fill that time with a limited roster. I really think a lot of people, I think maybe more so than any time in WWE's history that I can think of, a lot of people have really taken advantage of their opportunities and I think have really knocked it out of the park.
Yeah.
And when you look at both brands like on Raw, Zelina Vega, I think, has done a great job. Angel Garza. You know, they're always talking about how they want to find that next Hispanic star, and it's supposed to be Alberto Del Rio. Angel Garza is your guy if you don't screw it up.
He had a tough time with some of the retapes.
Oh, really?
They've got, like, and nothing against him. He's used to wrestling a match and just wrestling a match, not stop, start, stop, start, stop, start, stop, start, like that.
Yeah. Well, he's a package because the guy's got a good look. He's charismatic. He's got personality. He can go in the ring. They need their next Hispanic star. Maybe he could be that guy. I think he's done a good job. Apollo Crews gets his first title. Good for him. Asuka, you know, obviously she didn't know Becky was going to go down and Kairi Sane got hurt and everything that happened. Asuka, I think, has really done an amazing job. And MVP, I think, has done pretty good, man.
Oh,
he has.
Yeah, the people that I've talked to within Raw are very, very proud of the stars that they've helped establish. Namely, Aleister Black, Apollo Crews, Angel Garza, Buddy Murphy, Austin Theory. Those were specifically mentioned to me as people that they are proud of. And the term big game players for the next 20 years was thrown at me.
Right.
And to be fair, and this is a very good point as well, the same person said, how many years was Drew McIntyre not a star?
True.
And I was like, you know what? You're right. And then they told me to take a look over on the other side of things. Hard to disagree. Hard to disagree with
confidence
what
confidence goes
WWE's
a long
done.
Way.
Yeah.
Because Drew's got confidence now. And when he walks out there, he's like a different guy.
Yeah.
When he walks out there, like he's really stepped it up, especially again. And I don't blame Braun Strowman for too much of it because a lot of it's creative. But Braun Strowman, I don't think has you know, been rocking it as the champion on SmackDown anywhere close to the level of Drew McIntyre on Raw.
Yeah.
So good for him. I was going to spotlight on SmackDown, obviously, Sonya Deville. I think she, if you look at anybody where they were and where they are now, just because they gave her the opportunity to cut a promo, Sonya Deville's come a long way. I think she's doing a great job. Otis is freaking awesome. That guy, if they don't screw it up and if they don't just turn him into a comedy act, like there's going to be a future with him. Drew Gulak, has done well. I think Miz and Morrison have done great together. Those guys have a natural chemistry. I think they've done a good job. And I know you've talked about Bayley and how she has a knack for listening to the commentators because she can.
Yeah.
In this environment. So she listens to the commentators and then she'll improvise a shot back to them. So I think she's done a really good job. And you mentioned Aleister Black. Like, I think these guys they've all stepped it up. Personally, I haven't seen a lot out of Austin Theory yet. To me, Austin Theory's kind of been invisible a little bit. But the rest of these guys, I think they've done an outstanding – how could you ask for more from these guys? I think they've done well.
Talk about Drew Gulak. That was another FightfulSelect.com story this week. He's back in the fold at WWE. He's been re-added to the roster. Good for him. I hope he got the money that he was after. He is a person WWE wanted to hang on to. They wanted to, but he stood his ground. I don't know how it played out, though. Mm-hmm. So I hope he got what he wanted, and he is a person that WWE should have on their roster. He's very good.
For sure, yeah. Him and Brian, I mean, there's a tag team ready to happen right there if they want to go after the titles.
Yeah, at least for the next couple months.
Why for the next couple months?
Brian's taking time off for the birth of his kid.
And
his contract's up from what he said.
Okay. He's not going anywhere. Not so long as the Bellas have their deal and everything. Now, Asuka, I learned something. Yeah. I had no idea she's a working mom. Did you know that?
Yes, I did. Charlotte mentioned it after their match. Yeah.
I had no idea, and I actually looked her up because, you know, it's hard sometimes to gauge the age of people, and I always thought, okay, Asuka, because I knew she'd been around a while, but I thought Asuka, maybe early 30s, maybe. Asuka's going to be 39 in September. Going to be 39 yeah. in September. So did she move for – is she married? She's not married, is she?
I don't know. I don't know very many details about her private life. Oh,
do you know if her child moved to America with her?
I don't have an idea. Well, the child has been around and seen. It's just I don't really talk about that stuff. Not my business.
Okay. I had no idea.
Yeah.
Because, you know, whenever I've seen some of her YouTube videos, and to her credit, because some people like to keep things completely separate, she never mentions anything about family ever.
Yeah.
And so I had no idea until Becky Lynch made that comment. And then I thought, damn, that's when I looked up to see how old she was. And yeah, 39 of September. So wow. Wow, good for her, man. A working mom from Japan coming to the U.S., hardly knowing the language. That's balls to do that.
Yeah, oh, yeah. And it was so weird because I had people that were like, oh, Charlotte misspoke a couple years ago. Charlotte misspoke. And then Becky, and I knew because I had people telling me, they said that they would run into her with her child. And I was like, yeah, that's fine, but it's not really something I dig into in that regard because that's her private life. But Becky Lynch mentioned it. Don't know if Asuka is okay with that or if it's out there, but she's never spoken to American media. She just doesn't speak to American media. So right. Maybe it's – I don't know. But, hey, good on her. I always had a lot of respect for her, but even more so hearing that.
For sure. Oh, I agree with that. Yep. What do you think of – okay. I'm really glad Paul Heyman and Bruce Pritchard are not the general managers of a professional sports franchise. Really glad. Because if they were, that franchise would never make the playoffs. So now AJ Styles gets traded for future considerations. Brock Lesnar was traded for Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross. AJ Styles is traded for future considerations. What do you think about these trades they're making where they're taking a top talent? And this is no knock on Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross. But for Brock Lesnar,
that wasn't the trade. They never said that
was
the trade. Yeah.
But they kind of said
they never said.
No.
They said that Brock just switched because he could. They said that Alexa and Nikki were traded for future draft considerations. They said that Apollo moved for draft picks that were expiring. That ain't a thing. That's never been a thing. Yeah, just moved Mojo to move him because Gronk was on SmackDown. Where was Gronk this Monday? On Raw.
Yeah.
He was on Raw. Then they moved AJ for future considerations. Come on. Just throw it together. Make some sense of it. It ain't hard. It's a it's a two-minute WWE.com digital video. That's it.
Right. You're right. Especially, again, when he's an upper-level guy.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I'm trying to think of, like, Brendan Vink. This is not Brendan Vink moving brands. This is AJ Styles.
Yep.
Like, you should have something. I agree. I think that's pretty sloppy and pretty lazy. You heard something about title belts are going to get done, the new U.S. title belt?
I heard that they're either done or almost ready to get done. And then, I guess, some sort of redesign. Not a redesign. Like, a larger scale of the NXT title. And then I can't remember the other. Maybe the Cruiserweight title I heard there was, like, some alteration or maybe just a slight update. But, yeah, it's what I had heard last week.
Okay. That's good. I guess the last one I'll talk about here. So, obviously, independent promotions, they got to kind of try to figure things out. They've all taken a bath, unless they have some kind of a TV deal, and they're trying to figure things out as restrictions start to lift, at least temporarily. So I thought this one was interesting. ICW New York, they announced a show called No Holds Barred Volume 2 Deathmatch Drive-In. It's going to be in Atlantic City, New Jersey on June 27. It's going to be held outdoors. All fans must be in their cars. There's a 50-car capacity limit. And here's the part that really gets me. The entire card from top to bottom is going to be all death matches. You talk about redundant, Sean. You're going to do a whole card of death matches. That's what they're doing on June 27th. What do you think of that?
I mean, I'm not a death match guy. I've been asked to do two of them, and I said, no. No thanks. I'll pass on that hot dog and a handshake and the glass shards in my back. I'm not going to do that. I don't like watching them. That's just where I am. For some people, they love it. Good on them, but not my thing. Interesting idea, but the every match being a death match, eh.
I agree. I get it. I get it with the whole car thing. I mean, that's all right. It kind of reminds me of Sturgis a little bit. So that's fine. You know, people are going to be dicks and they're going to honk their horn and rev their engine and all that crap.
Of course. Of course.
But death matches from top to bottom, that's going to get redundant real quick.
Yeah.
How is the guy in the main event? How are you going to top everything else that's already happened?
Yeah, that's if you're in the main event. That's why you try to, not sparsely, but you separate all that stuff a little bit. You build, and that's why match placement's important.
Someone's going to get killed.
Maybe
that's
not
all I got
here.
For you. That's all I got for you.
Thank you, guys. We're out.